Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Long ago, the God of glory appeared to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia and said to him, "Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you." And that was the beginning of a long and difficult journey for Abraham, one that spanned many hundreds of miles, many decades. From Ur of the Chaldeans, Abraham, at that time he was called Abram, went out with his wife Sarai, who would eventually be called Sarah, his father Terah, and his nephew Lot. And they lived in the country of Haran. But after his father died, God removed Abraham from that land, from his kindred, and from his father's house, and sent him to the land of Canaan, the land which the Lord had promised to him and to his offspring. The challenges didn't end for Abraham when he arrived in the land of Canaan. Not long after that, famine sent him and his wife down to Egypt, where he was not completely forthright with Pharaoh about their marriage, an event that would be repeated a little bit later on in his life with another king, Abimelech. After that, his nephew Lot was taken captive in a war, and after that, Lot would have to flee from his city of Sodom when it was destroyed by God's wrath over the people's sin. But perhaps the greatest trial endured by Abraham was the apparent lack of an offspring to receive all that the Lord had promised. And that lack of offspring led to further difficulties, yes, even self-inflicted. Doubt as to Sarah's ability to bear him a son led Abraham to father a son with his wife's servant, Hagar. And that became a source of unending conflict for Sarah that ultimately led to Hagar and her son Ishmael being exiled in the wilderness. And through all the trials, all the struggles, all the challenges, God remained faithful. And he never let Abraham forget the promise that he had made to him. From the very beginning, God said to Abraham, "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And over time, over the years, that promise became clearer and clearer. "I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted." Through the priest and king Melchizedek, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed by God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Later, your very own son shall be your heir. Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. So shall your offspring be. And again, your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Finally, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." God made all these promises to Abraham. And Abraham believed the Lord, believed in the Lord's promises. It was counted to him as righteousness. And finally, in God's perfect time, he fulfilled his promise. A son was born to Abraham by his wife Sarah, and they, in fact, called his name Isaac. He was a joy and delight to his parents, and in fact, that's what his name means. He laughs. After a long and difficult journey, both of miles and years, filled with moments of trial and tribulation, doubt and uncertainty, and yes, sin, in which Abraham could only hold fast to the promises of God by faith, God kept his promise, provided for him a son. But then, as we heard this morning, God, who had already made great demands of Abraham, as well as great promises, such as to leave his country and his kindred and his father's house, made the greatest the most terrible demand of all. He called out Abraham, which Abraham responded, "Here am I." And God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." How could God command such a thing of his servant Abraham? Surely he knew how deeply Abraham and his wife Sarah loved their boy, that son for whom they waited so long, that son for whom they prayed so fervently. God almost seems to emphasize it. Take your son, your only son, whom you love. By human reason, this command offends on so many levels. To sacrifice the only son for whom Abraham and Sarah waited, whom they loved so much, to violate one of the most basic moral laws, to kill your own child. But worst of all, give the impression that God, in the end, was not faithful, that he would not keep his promise, that he would break his word and go back on what he had said, that in the end, Abraham's son, through his wife Sarah, would not receive the blessing. Yes, that would have been the worst offense of all, for God to show himself to be unreliable, uncertain, unfaithful. Yet, like his grandson Jacob, years down the road, who wrestled with God until break of day and would not let go until he had been blessed, like the Canaanite woman, many, many years after that, Abraham's daughter by faith, who knelt before the Son of God and would not move until her prayer was answered, Abraham refused to let go of God's promise. He held fast by faith, even when it seemed as though God himself had forgotten or rejected it. In that moment, when God seemed to turn his back on everything he had said, Abraham would not. He held fast by faith. Yes, the command was unthinkable. How could Abraham ever begin to understand what God was doing through this? Nevertheless, Abraham believed. He walked by faith. Despite all appearances to the contrary, Abraham remained convinced that God would remain eternally reliable, eternally certain, eternally faithful. So it was by faith that Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Abraham rose early in the morning, and by faith, he saddled his donkey. By faith, he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose, and by faith he went to the place of which God had told him. But Abraham's faith was not a generic sort of faith, that God is in general good. Rather, Abraham's faith was very specific, very clear. Namely, he considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. God was going to demand his son, his only son whom he loved, from him as a sacrifice, then surely God would give him back by resurrecting his body. He believed that what God had promised, that it would be through Isaac that the offspring would come, through Isaac that the nations of the earth would be blessed in time, then God would do it by miraculous means if necessary, no matter how impossible it seemed to human reason. By faith, Abraham committed the matter to God's almighty power, wisdom, which he knew as many more ways to fulfill the promise of the offspring from Isaac than Abraham could ever begin to grasp with his human mind. And Abraham confessed this faith to his two young men, those servants who accompanied him and Isaac to the mountain, when he said, "Stay here with the donkey, I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." That is plural verbs throughout. I and the boy, we will go over there, we will worship, and yes, we will come again to you. As we heard, Abraham's faith was not put to shame. He built the altar, He laid the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood. But then when Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted up his eyes. He saw a ram behind him, caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and he took that ram and he offered that ram up as a burnt offering instead of Isaac. His grandson Jacob, who was in the end blessed by the Lord and given the name Israel, like the Canaanite woman, his daughter through faith, whose daughter was cleansed of the demon at the word of Jesus, as Abraham believed, so it happened for him. He did, in fact, receive his son Isaac back from the dead, figuratively speaking, and he and his boy together came again to his servants. Having together gone up the mountain, together worshiped the Lord. And as we heard, on the way up the mountain, bearing the wood on which he would soon be sacrificed as a burnt offering, Isaac said to his father, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham testified in response, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." In the end, God did provide. He provided that lamb for the burnt offering, just as Isaac had asked, and Abraham had responded. And yes, there was a ram caught in a thicket on that day, a ram that was sacrificed on the altar Abraham had built, expecting to offer his son on it. But that ram was not the true sacrifice that God intended to provide in place of Isaac, not in the end. For if the only sacrifice provided by God to be offered in Isaac's stead was a ram, then Isaac is still doomed to die. And not just Isaac, but the whole world. You are too. For Isaac's guilt would remain. Abraham's, Sarah's, yours and mine, and the sins of the whole world would remain. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, and it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats, and lambs and rams, to take away sins. Not all the blood of beasts on any altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. Just like Abraham's faith was not general but specific, faith in the resurrection of the dead, God did not provide for himself just some other lamb or sheep or ram or animal for the burnt offering. Rather, in the fullness of time, God provided his own beloved son to be that sacrifice in Isaac's place and in your place and mine, in place of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, provided by God for himself, who takes away the sin of the world, your sins as well. The very angel of the Lord who called out, "Abraham, Abraham," and stayed his hand, became in time a son of Abraham according to the flesh. He who is, before Abraham was born hundreds of years after his father Abraham lived on the earth. Jesus is the offspring promised to Abraham, in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Jesus is both the Lamb of God and the Son of God. And as both sacrifice and priest, he secured an eternal redemption once and for all. Not by the means of the blood of goats and calves or of lambs and rams, but by the means of his own blood shed on the cross for you. Blood that purifies your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He who is both the Lamb of God and the Son of God, both Abraham's offspring and Abraham's Lord, has fulfilled in himself all the promises of God for you. He undertook that long, difficult journey to Moriah, Though when Jesus undertook that journey, it was known by a different name, Jerusalem. He saddled up his donkey and rode into the city to shouts of praise and the laying of palm branches before him. It was his head that was encircled with a crown of thorns. He bore the wood of the cross on his own shoulders and marched through the streets to Mount Calvary. He was bound hand and foot and nailed to the cross. He cried out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was not taken down from the cross, but rather there on the altar of the cross, he endured the full fire of God's wrath against your sin, pierced by the spear. He breathed his last and gave up his spirit. Through it all, though, our Lord Jesus never sinned, never doubted even once, that God would keep his promise and be faithful, that he would raise him from the dead. And so he did on the third day, for death and the grave could not hold him. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. Jesus Christ is the Lamb provided by God for himself. Take your place. It was in Jesus that Abraham believed, and this faith was counted to him as righteousness. Again, his faith was not a generic, general sort of belief in the goodness of God, but very specific. Abraham had faith in all the promises of God, the promises of the Savior, the promises of the resurrection, the promises of an everlasting homeland whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Abraham rejoiced that he would see Jesus' day. By faith, Abraham saw it and was glad. It was this faith that sustained Abraham through that long and difficult journey of his life, especially when he was called by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. In the end, his faith was not put to shame, for God remained faithful. The promise was kept. The line of the Messiah continued through Isaac, just like God said it would. And in time, the Messiah, Jesus, was born, the offspring long foretold, promised to Abraham. He, the Son of the Father, would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. In him all nations of the earth are blessed. Through faith in Jesus, you are counted as true children of Abraham, whatever your background might be. As children of Abraham, the faith you hold is like that of your fathers. It is specific in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is specifically in his death on the cross for your sins and his blood that makes atonement for all of your transgressions. It is specific in his resurrection from the dead that guarantees your own resurrection someday. It is specific in the promised homeland of heaven and life everlasting in the blessed and glorious presence of your God. As you make your way through this long and difficult journey of life, that land awaiting you above, this faith, created and strengthened in you by the Holy Spirit, will sustain you the whole way through until you finally, at God's good time, receive the promised eternal inheritance. God is faithful, and he will surely do it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.